Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
What's up? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Michael Beller and Jake Seeley here with you on this episode. No Brandon Funston for this one or the next one. Brandon Funston out on vacation this week, so it's just me and Jake coming at you. We're going to do a couple of in-out or no-doubt episodes for the week. We want to save the debates for when Funston is here. Today, we're going to be talking about some mid-round wide receivers. I'll explain why I picked this class of players in a second, but first, Jake, it's like the song remains the same every year. Some point at this time, it's August. Today's August 1st, and here's Brandon Funston going on vacation, arguably the hottest time of the fantasy football season.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's intentional or why he does this to us every single year, but we have an off-air conversation with Brandon, seems.
Yeah, right? It's unreal, this guy. Unreal, this freaking guy, but hey, we're still going to do a couple of episodes, and, you know, it gives us an opportunity to take a shot at Funston. And really, who doesn't want to have a little shot at Funston every now and again? So we'll get him back in the fold next week. For this week, we're going to be doing an out, no doubt, for this episode, as I said, mid-round wide receivers. Not necessarily a class of players we think about in terms of, like, a let's have a discussion about them. But, Jake, the last two seasons, the essential wide receiver has come from this range of the draft. In 2020, it was Stephon Diggs. Last year, of course, it was Cooper Kupp. And basically, you look at championship teams. In 2020, they had a huge amount of Stephon Diggs. In 2021, they had a huge amount, of Cooper Kupp. And so we're going to look at that group of receivers today on this episode. Now, to be fair, we have talked about a fair amount of those guys already, some guys who you could put in this class: Cortland Sutton, DK Metcalf, Allen Robinson, Brandon Cooks, Gabriel Davis. We've had some long, robust discussions on those players already. You can go back through the feed and find those discussions if you so choose. We're going to look at some guys who we haven't quite had the big discussions about, who fit into this group of players, and discuss whether we are in, out, or no doubt on these guys. We've got five receivers for you. Let's jump in. Jake, the first one who I want to talk about is Marquise Brown, who is in Arizona now, of course. 43.51 is the ADP on him over this last month. That makes him a wide receiver 19. How does that price feel to you, Jake, for his first year as a Cardinal?
Yeah, ridiculously out. I'm 100% not even like close to being in on this one, because wide receiver 19 is essentially his peak on what he's returned. Actually, last year, he wasn't even wide receiver 19. He was wide receiver 21. And if you look at it, points per game, and yeah, those without Lamar Jackson for much of the year, but again, it's his best year. 91 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Wide receiver 27 fantasy points per game. This is a 6-week buy-in. I don't get it. Like, I get the excitement of Marquise Brown with the Cardinals if he was the number one, like he was the number one with the Ravens for the entire year, but you cannot ignore that DeAndre Hopkins is coming back. Unless DeAndre Hopkins is toast, which I guess is a conversation to have on its side, is like people are comparing him to Julio Jones at the part where Julio Jones started falling off. But even then, you're still talking about they're going to 50-50 split that number one role if Hopkins has taken a step back and now he's down in that range. So, like, best case, 50-50 with Hopkins, and then you have Ertz and Rondell Moore and all the rest of them being involved like they always have been. You go back to, like, all right, worst case scenario is as soon as Hopkins comes back, Marquise Brown is now a wide receiver 4. Who you try to play matchups with, but just as basically boom or bust as he's been for a lot of his career. So I don't get this price. Like, I just don't. I am so far out on this. I have so little of Marquise Brown, because the other part of it too is you could sit there and say, well, I'll use him for 4 weeks and then trade him, sell high. Unless you're playing in a super experienced league, you're not tricking anybody. And I say 4 because if you're going to do it, you can't wait till week 6 rolls around and Hopkins is on his return, because everybody's going to know by that point. It just, again, I get it if this was the entire year, but it's not. It's 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm with you entirely. This is, of all the In Out No Doubt episodes we've done, this is probably the most out I have been on any receiver. And a bunch of those guys who I named, the guys we've already talked about, Sutton, Metcalf, Allen Robinson, Brandon Cooks, Gabriel Davis. In fact, those five guys, those are the five guys, Jake, who are the next receivers off the board. Sutton, wide receiver 20, DK's at 21, Robinson 22, Cooks 23, Gabriel Davis 24. I'm taking all those guys over Marquise Brown without thinking twice about it. Like, there's not even, I don't even have to stop and consider whether I'm making the right decision before clicking the other guy's name. I am very easily taking those guys ahead of Marquise Brown. You know what? Maybe Gabriel Davis I would stop and think about, but certainly not Sutton, Metcalf, A-Rob, or Brandon Cooks. So yeah, that, like, it's just, I truly, truly do not get this valuation on Marquise Brown. And like, even when I, like you mentioned, yeah, obviously, but like what he did in there, great. I mean, great year in Baltimore last year, 1,000 yards, 90 catches, 6 touchdowns. I mean, that is a good, strong, solid season. He did it without Lamar Jackson for what, like 4 games, right? Lamar missed something along those lines. So right. That is a very good season, but he did that right as the wide receiver one, as unquestionably one of the top two options in the passing game with Mark Andrews. And I just don't know that we're necessarily going to see that same volume for him. 146 targets last year. Like, what does it take for him to get to 146 this year in Arizona?
Hopkins missing more time, or again, I get, like I said, I guess the best case scenario for him is that Hopkins comes back and this is a 1A, 1B role instead of Hopkins the 1, Marquise Brown the 2. That's, and again, that can be in this world, but I think you're also having to consider Zach Ertz falling kind of back to Zach Ertz from the Eagles and not being what he was once he arrived with Arizona last year, too. There's just a lot of options here. Kyler Murray, throughout the years, has basically been DeAndre Hopkins and then everybody else. Like, when Hopkins is out there, I mean, you see it in his passing numbers. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray's numbers dropped as soon as Hopkins was done. We've discussed that on this show. So I just don't know where there's a world where Marquise Brown is top 25 when Hopkins comes back. And if he is, it would be more of a net finish than as in any type of reliability game to game.
All right, Jake, let's go on to our next receiver here. It is Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had the big second half last year to get himself into this discussion. An ADP of 52.98, wide receiver 25 overall. I'm going to defer to you first here. Wide receiver 25 feels fine to me. I'm not necessarily going to pay that exact price, depending on who else is on the board. 52.98, 53 overall feels a little rich for me. I do like the idea of being invested in the Detroit offense, and I mean, we haven't said that in a very long time. So there is some allure to me here, but I do have trouble getting to that overall price tag on Amon-Ra.
It's not far from it. Mm-hmm. I'm slightly out at this point. Looking at my own rankings and wide receivers I have in front of Amon-Ra St. Brown are Elijah Moore from the Jets, which we talked about, I think, last week, Robert Woods, Darnell Mooney, Sutton, Gabriel Davis, Juju, Bateman, London, McLaurin, and up from there. I mean, now we're starting to get almost to the top 20. So that puts him at 32 for me. He's not that far down. And that's with Jameson Williams missing conservatively the first 4 games. So I think you're looking at Jameson Williams. It's very much like the argument for Hockenson against Hockenson. The slight concern, if you want to bring up the DeAndre Swift conversation we had, which I acknowledge, is just if you have Swift, Jameson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Hockenson, and then we're not even talking about the rest of the wide receivers like Josh Reynolds and whoever it might be, it's just hard to see St. Brown getting what was almost Cooper Kupp volume week in and week out. I've sat here and made the argument that Jared Goff can have 2 top 30 wide receivers. He's done it before. That was with the Rams too. But also the fact is like, can you do it with a tight end like Hockenson? Somebody has to fall back, or all three of them have to take a little bit of a, you know, 10% dip. So I'm slightly out on this, which means I have 0 Amon-Ra St. Brown because I often see him going close to the top 20. The biggest factor is Jameson. If you told me today, Beller, and you said, hey, Jameson Williams isn't coming back, he's going to be on PUP, he's out at least 6, probably not ready to be a full blow until week 8, then I'd be more in on this.
The tough thing with St. Brown is that volume from last year against what he did with it, right? I mean, it's very easy to sit here and say, all right, last 6 games of the year, he had double-digit targets every single game. That's not happening. And I think a lot of us, pretty much all of us, would agree with that. Like you said, Cooper Kupp level volume. We can't expect that from Amon-Ra St. Brown this season. At the same time, when you can also say, well, yeah, he had the opportunity, but he took full advantage of that opportunity. I mean, you look up and down, and the worst game he had from just a production standpoint in that six-game run of double-digit targets was 8 catches for 73 yards. And when you're talking about that as the worst game that you put up, it's like, maybe this guy deserves to be getting those sorts of looks. And it's hard to find the right balance there. Now, again, he's not getting 170 targets, right? 10 targets per game, 170 targets. The math is pretty easy there. He's not getting 170 targets this year. But he did everything that he possibly could have to show this coaching staff, yo, I can be a wide receiver one. I'm deserving of getting big-time targets. And so I think we should try to strike a balance between realism of the targets with what he has earned for himself in terms of target share. And that's why I find myself feeling pretty comfortable with him being this wide receiver 25-ish player. It's more just the overall price that I'm a little bit balky against.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more balky with some of the wide receivers, as I mentioned. My biggest thing that I'm going to go back to is the Hockenson situation. You know, Hockenson was gone at this point. Right. What was it, 12 or 13? So
yeah, week 12 Minnesota, or 13, you mean?
He left the Minnesota game. So that's when he started. That's when Amon-Ra St. Brown started the stretch. Before that, he had 2 games of 8 targets. Now, granted, he did have like 7, 5, 5, 6. I pulled it up, 6, 4, 4, like plenty, but in that range too. You're talking about never got over 70 yards. He had actually looks like 3 games over 60 total. A lot of 20s, 30s, teens, and stuff like that. 0 touchdowns until Hockenson disappeared. And I'm not saying completely ignore St. Brown and the fact that he grew as a rookie. He was a rookie, so I'm not saying you throw that all together, but that insane volume with no Hockenson, again, now no Jameson Williams, who's now part of the team, and then is Swift going to stay healthy? I would expect them to be more of 7, 8 targets a game, which is still really good, but is that also a muted touchdown performance? Like, is he going to have 5 for a season again? And granted, he had 5 in those stretches, but that's, again, no Hockenson, no everybody else. So I'm more of a wide receiver 3, which, again, just goes to, I said again like 7 times there, which just goes to the fact that I'm not going to have him.
You got to take a look at the volume if you can, you know, pull up some of the ARSB performances from that 6-game stretch and say he's not getting 170 targets, but is there enough here? Was this totally volume-based, or was he doing work on the targets he was getting? And I think that's going to lead you to the decision that you personally make on Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Our next receiver for this episode of In Out, no doubt, is one of those guys you mentioned, Jake. He is right here in this NFC North. Big things expected from him. Darnell Mooney, the new wide receiver 1 for the Chicago Bears. 55.37 is the ADP. Wide receiver 26, just one step down from Amon-Ra St. Brown. I am in at this price. How about you?
Like, safely in. I mentioned him, and for where I have him is 29. So slightly behind this, but in at this, depending on how my team is. I could see Mooney finishing his top 20. The concerns is not even so much the volume, because he's going to be looking at like a Allen Robinson was on his team last year, but Allen Robinson for past years, way back, it was like volume. Don't care. I don't care that, you know, you're playing for a poor offense when if you're going to see 140 targets. The problem is the 140 targets might be 4 or 5 touchdowns, because the offense might struggle. That's the bigger thing. You know, if you go down the list and you look at all these numbers and all these wide receivers in this range, you're going to see a very similar group, basically, from wide receiver 18 to 20, somewhere around there, all the way down to like 35. And now the differences are going to be the offenses. You're going to talk about guys scoring 7, 8, 9 touchdowns versus scoring 4, 5, or 6. And that's really what it comes down to. So if you want to push Mooney a little bit higher, I'm not even going to argue with you much. You tack on 2 more touchdowns, he might jump 5 to 10 spots in my ranking. So I'm in. I'm not all in, but I'm definitely not out. I'm solidly in.
Volume should be huge for him. I mean, you look at what the Bears have done in that wide receiver group in this offseason, and it's like the island of misfit wide receivers with everything that they've got in town there. And what it all means is that there's no doubt he's going to be the wide receiver one. I would expect the person to be second in targets in this team to be Cole Kmet. And I wouldn't be surprised to see something of like a Raven-style offense from this team, where you've got one receiver who you like, you've got the tight end who you like, you've got a mobile quarterback, you've got a couple of backs in David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert who you like. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, not the exact same style of like literally how the teams play and how they line up and pre-snap motions and that, but when the dust settles at the end of the season, the same sort of overall statistical production from wide receiver one, tight end one, running back two. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see something like what we've seen from the Ravens, from the Bears this year, at a lower level, of course, because I don't expect these Bears teams to be anywhere near as good as those Ravens teams have been. I do think something else that we can factor in for Darnell Mooney, and really everyone when we're looking at the Bears, are a couple of these seeming depth signings that they've made along the offensive line over the last week or so here that, you know, can't do anything but help what was a very bad offensive line. They added Riley Reiff, you know, obviously no longer at the peak of his powers, but still a competent lineman who can play basically anywhere along the line and will give you more depth behind him. Michael Schofield also added to this roster. So the line at least should be better than it was last year. I know that's a low bar to clear, but maybe now we're looking at like a league average line, and that can make a huge difference for everyone in Chicago this season.
Nah, I'm not on the same page with you on that one. I've been a Giants fan for too long to know that depth signings end up meaning nothing when it comes to offensive line. I have zero hope that this offensive line is outside the bottom five. So
bottom five.
It was the worst in the league, and the depth signings are not going to do anything for me to get him out of bottom.
Well, Riley Reiff is a little different than Michael Schofield. I mean, what Riley Reiff adds. I mean, again, he's not what he was. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So 12 games in the Bengals last year. They'll be better than bottom five. They might be like bottom eight, but they'll be better than bottom five, I feel like.
No,
either way.
No, bottom five.
Well, either way, we're in on Darnell Mooney.
Sharp Football already has him as worst. I was trying to give him some credit.
Worst. Worst feels like a stretch with some of what these other teams are going to be trotting out there.
Take off your Bears glasses.
Believe me, I don't have any. I promise you. If I did, I would be singing a much, much different tune. But either way, we're in on Darnell Mooney. I do like him a bit at that wide. Like, I would take him over Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I wouldn't think someone who takes Amon-Ra first is crazy. But give me Mooney. I just trust the – I do trust his
volume. 100%. I mean, you're talking about the definitive number one and volume on his team versus potential mix with multiple options.
Right. Yeah. So Darnell Mooney definitely catching our attention as the unquestioned wide receiver one in Chicago. Next up here, a guy who I suppose could be a wide receiver one this season. I went on a whole rant last week about how I do not think he will be the wide receiver one and how I think one of his teammates will be not only the wide receiver one, but a top 20 wide receiver. But let's talk about Jerry Jeudy here. 56.18, wide receiver 27. This is, I think, a big bet on both Jeudy's potential and on Russell Wilson as the Denver quarterback. I totally understand that bet that people are making. I would like to have Jerry Jeudy on teams where I do not have Cortland Sutton. 56.18, a top 60 pick overall on a guy who really hasn't shown us that sort of ceiling in his NFL career. It's a little much for me, Jake. I would describe myself as out-ish on Jerry Jeudy. Not quite fully out, but more out than in.
Yeah, so I'm fully out because I have Cortland Sutton at this spot for wide receivers. And so I'm even further down on Jeudy. Like, yeah, don't hate Jeudy. I just don't think we can ignore the make of this team and the fact mm-hmm. that Tim Patrick is one of the most threatening number threes in the NFL. And I know people will say, like, from a standpoint of talent, and but, like, why are we ignoring what Tim Patrick's been? Maybe he falls completely to the wayside and Russell Wilson continues to be a two wide receiver only type of quarterback. And then, you know what? Judy and Sutton are both too low because they're going to finish as a wide receiver one and a wide receiver two. Right. So I think what it comes down to, as well as drafting, you know, we go back to what we talked about last week, is the makeup of your team. So I'm out only because I'm having a slight tier below. Like, I have Judy in the conversation with Renfro and Lockett, speaking of, and Alan Lazard and names like that, whereas the Cortland Sutton tier is the ones like Bateman, Juju Smith-Schuster, Terry McLaurin, and stuff like that. So yeah. If you disagree and you think Judy's that way, this is why I don't like to get hung up too much on like the accuracy of draft rankings, and why I like never worry too much about that, is because it comes down to like I'm going to draft Judy higher than probably, you know, I would see him finish in my rankings from a full state. Like, so like I could see Judy finishing 36, but now would I take him around the wide receiver 30, like with the tier of guys I just mentioned? Yeah, because I'm going for upside there. There's a potential, but I want to balance that risk associated with it. So that's why he falls into the Hunter Renfro. I'm Amon-Ra St. Brown. I have him in the same tier. They're fringe 30s, and could they finish as top 20? Absolutely, but there's more risk baked in than a lot of those names that are around those 20s.
I would just, I mean, like, it's, we, especially like wide receivers, right? Like, the greatest wide receivers in the world, like, if they play with bad quarterbacks, if their quarterback is behind a bad offensive line, like, wide receivers need a lot to go right before the ball ever makes it to them, right? So, I'd like, Jerry Judy's got the pedigree. We all watched him at Alabama. We know what sort of player he can be, and so I want to get on board. But for a guy who's played 26 games in his career, Jake, 1,323 yards, 90 catches, and 3 touchdowns, right? I mean, like, the potential, he is dripping with potential. There is no question about that, and he could have a breakout year this year. But if I'm going to take him as high as it looks like I have to take him, I want to have already seen more than 90 for 1,323 and 3 across 2 seasons and 26 games. And that's where this gets a little hard for me.
Well, it's also the lazy comp to what they had with Seattle, is because everybody's like, well, Sutton will be DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. Well, Sutton and DK Metcalf are not the same wide receiver stylistically. No. Like, no. They bigger plays, yes, but different route running ability. I take Sutton 10 times out of 10 over Metcalf. Metcalf will body the living hell out of anybody who tries to get close to him. Sutton can do it, but not as well as Metcalf. They're not a one for one. And what happens is everybody's making that one for one of, oh, he's going to be DK Metcalf for him. So what does that make Judy? That makes Judy Lockett. Well, what did Lockett do with Russell Wilson? An absurd amount of rapport with Russell Wilson that you don't usually see outside of Lockett, Adam Thielen, and a few others, where it's just this connection that comes to the touchdowns. When the plays broke down, Tyler Lockett was breaking free. And everybody's just going, whoa, that'll be Judy's role. Well, what is Tim Patrick's role? And Judy's not a one-for-one for Tyler Lockett. They're not even the same size. Judy's bigger than Tyler Lockett. Yeah. So it's just a lot of, and I hate to come for people, but it's lazy analysis. And you're just trying to copy-paste an offense to another offense because Russell Wilson switched teams. And they're not the same wide receivers. Like, is there a world where Judy is better than Cortland Sutton? Sure. I think there's a non-zero chance that happens, but it has nothing to do with he being Lockett and Sutton being DK Metcalf.
That's like a starting point for what you're going to think about, but definitely not. It shouldn't be your ending point. And we're seeing that happen a bit as we're trying to figure out just what this Denver Broncos offense with Russell Wilson at the helm is going to look like. Jerry Judy, this just feels a little bit too much. Probably not going to have too much of him. My team's same goes for Jake Seeley.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
One more player for us on this episode of In Out or No Doubt, The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. And this is a guy who I believe we are both in on. It is Rashad Bateman, an ADP of 63, wide receiver 28. Now, Jake, he's the one guy, maybe Mooney. He's the guy in this discussion that we've had today that could, I think, be the, you know, go from wide receiver 28 on draft day to wide receiver 10 at the end of the season. Obviously, it would take a lot of things going his way, especially when you consider the passing volume of the offense that he plays in. Just goes to show, though, that the ceiling here, I think, is bigger than anyone else that we've talked about here because of the role that he is stepping into. Basically, he is now Marquise Brown. And that, I just feel like the Marquise Brown role in Baltimore is going to be more valuable than what Marquise Brown inhabits in Arizona. And Rashad Brown is stepping in, or Rashad Bateman is stepping into that, and then can really, I think, make that into something different than what Marquise Brown ever did. I am very in on Rashad Bateman at this price.
So I am no doubt all in. You see what it says. So there, yes, you go. I combined them for you. It really comes down to, I don't even think, like, I'm glad you said Marquise Brown and then continued. I thought you were going to be the end of the conversation. I was like, he's not Marquise Brown. But then you said Marquise Brown's role in 140 targets. So 140 targets, exactly, for Bateman. Now we're already talking volume. And we're talking, I've mentioned this on previous podcasts on here, even the All in Football too, is that I think he's a better fit for Lamar Jackson than Marquise Brown is. They have field stretchers to replace Marquise Brown. I don't think Lamar Jackson's offense works best when your number one is a downfield stretcher like Marquise Brown is. I think Bateman stylistically will open things up for him, similar to the success you've seen with Mark Andrews. And you look at Brown, or now you got me saying Brown. You got Bateman and Andrews as your one and two. And then whether it's Duvernay or Prochet, or maybe they can get somebody else with an A at the end of it, with spelled with an E. There's going to be an option there that I'm not saying they're relevant for fantasy purposes, but this could see where you get 140 targets. Similar stat line, honestly, to Bateman last year, because, oh God, Brown, you tripped me up, hey, and now, man, I keep going back and forth with,
hey,
that.
Hey, man.
So last year, Brown only had about 11 yards per reception, which is low for him. And part of that was because Lamar Jackson wasn't out there for the entire year, but he's more of a 13 type. But Bateman should be more of 11. So you say 90 catches, 100 or 1,000 plus yards, and then the 6-7 touchdowns. You just mentioned it. Where did Marquise Brown fit? Wide receiver 21. Mm-hmm. And wide receiver 21 is much higher than this ADP. And I feel like there's a little bit of room for even more.
Yeah, I think you really hit everything there that we're talking about with Rashad Bateman and why we're excited.
Can we call him Brownman or something
No. I think Bateman, it's fun, right? We go back and forth. Rashad Bateman's good. And I want to say, Jake, didn't you say, I know you said this about someone last year, and it might have been Bateman. Weren't you calling him like almost a year ahead pick for the Ravens? Wasn't it Bateman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? For the Ravens. Yeah, there was a couple year ahead picks, but yeah, he was one of them.
Right, and I mean, that just like the
talk
the,
about him 2023. We have a couple of those this year too.
The plan, the it's easy to see the plan that the Ravens have had for Rashad Bateman in 2022, going back to 2021 draft day, and so it's just it'll be fun, I think, to see that play out this season.
That's
and I think that anyone who gets him a wide receiver 28 is going to be feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, and that's why I know we talked about the Jets already, but that's why I'm so in on Elijah Moore, because Elijah Moore was the same thing. Bateman and Moore for me last year were like, let's talk 2022, and then you're seeing the start to come around of why. So, yeah, these are some – that's why I think Treylon Burks is 2023. There's other wide receivers in this draft class that are like that.
Bookmark this podcast right here from August 2nd of 2022, next year at this time when we're talking about Treylon Burks, because he is a year-ahead pick in the same way that we're feeling like Rashad Bateman maybe was last year, going to play in a big way this year, regardless of where you end up getting him in your fantasy drafts. That is going to do it for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. For Jake, I'm Michael Beller. We're back with you later this week. See ya.